Luke 10:25 says this: On one occasion, an expert of the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this, and you will live." Welcome. I am so glad you're here this morning. God is good, right? And I just, first and foremost, I feel like I've already been part of a party this morning, that we have celebrated Jesus, that we are ready to be in his presence this morning, no matter what situation we find ourselves in this morning. I hope that you have experienced his presence upon you this morning. And if not, take a moment while I'm speaking and pray that God's Spirit invades your heart, that all the worries and the doubts of this world right now just seep away, all right? That this moment, like, you can ignore me, but may you hear God's voice speak to you today. May it be real, may it be life-changing, may it be something that just overwhelms you, that you feel new and refreshed this morning. That is our hope, all right? I want to encourage you, too, for next Sunday. One of the things that we celebrate and we love to do is VBS, Vacation Bible School, all right? And I am going to jump on that with Pastor Dory. I hope you come. I hope that you, if you feel like, you know, you don't do well with kids, I want you to know you have a place here to help with VBS. No matter who you are or what you are, we can plug you in and you can be a life change for these kids. And being able to show them love and grace and having them run up and down our hallways, having them yell and worship in here, whew, I think it's awesome. I love it. And we better love it too. Our hearts better yearn for it. And I'm praying right now too that we as a church, can we do this together? Can we be already praying for VBS this summer? That it changes lives, that it impacts families. Like, think about this. That we get kids that are not churched, don't have any affiliation with Jesus, they get to hear that message and go back home and share what God has done in their lives with a family member that needs to know it. Do you know that that can do it? That we get to be a part of that? That we get to, at VBS, we may be training little missionaries in to go back home and share the gospel. Man, let's pray for that. Let's pray for that. And as we prepare for this, you know, you might have people in your life that have kids. This is an opportunity to share with them, to tell them, to be excited about this event that we have been praying for. Invite them to this event because it can be life-altering, right? Not just for the kids, but for your friends too, right? That is our prayer. Can we agree to praying for this church? Yeah? All right. I want you to know, like, I know, you know, how do I put this? We love you at all ages, okay? We do. Everybody is important to us. But the gym, the heartbeat, the thing that we should be wanting so much of is the kids in our neighborhood, the kids in our lives to know who Jesus Christ is, right? And we should, like, that should be a hunger for us to see the next generation know who God is and how much he loves them, how he's restored us, and how he wants to be involved in them, and how much he loves them, right? Man, we need to be that for them. That needs to be a huge part of our church, all right? That when we think about VBS, not just a week of serving these kids, but man, I want to see us overflow over there. That's our children's department, if you didn't know. I want us to be like almost being interrupted by how fun and laughing and crazy it is over here, that we're like, man, we can't hear you, Pastor, can't pay attention. What a good problem, right? Some of you might think, whew, we didn't hear him. right? But no, we want those problems. I saw you, all right, Vicky, all right? And speaking of Vicky, some of the things that we are also doing is care ministry, all right? We have a care ministry part of our church. And what that means, listen, if you have a need, a desire, or something in your life that needs to be prayed over, something that just you're hurting, or you want to be like, we want to celebrate you too as a church, connect with our care ministry. We have a little box out there with cards, and it'll show you how to fill it out, right? And it goes to our care ministry, and all they do is pray for you, and they send notes to you to encourage you and love on you, okay? That's our care ministry. We want you to know we care. And it doesn't matter if you've been here one Sunday or 100 Sundays. We love you and care about you, and we want to be a part of your life. That's the church we want to be, all right? Real quick, this is what I need you to do, and you don't have to get up. You don't have to go and, like, scream in anybody's face. I just want you to turn to your neighbor and say, "What's up, neighbor?" All right. For all our introverts, I'm sorry. All right? We are starting a series. We started, I believe, last week called Four. All right? And the reason we've started this is I have been working through church and the thought process of church and how easy it is to share what we're against. Right? The world probably knows everything that we're ever against, right? We've done a really good job on that front. And I want to be a church that lets our neighborhood, lets our people around us know what we're for, all right? And we need to be people that live out what we're for, all right? And so this morning, we're going to talk about what it means to be a neighborhood. And we're for being in a neighborhood. I'm going to break a cardinal rule of small groups, all right? I'm sorry to my small group, but there was a quote that I want to share, and I'm not going to tell you who said it. They can share it, and I'm only going to give half of that quote. But the cool thing about this quote, and I know my small group's going, I will hurt you Thursday, all right? That's when we meet, all right? So I'm ready for it. But the quote is this. I love this aspect of what this person said. They said, you know, church to me now is not about necessarily bringing people here, but for us to be prepared to go out to where they're at. All right? Like, it's changed through them. And this thought process for us is this Sunday we come together, we worship, we have one audience. And that's God, and we focus on God, but we are getting recharged. We are getting that fill up that the Spirit is so wet. We know and are ready to face a world that is lost, a world that needs His love, His peace, His guidance, His wisdom, right? And we're filled up. And I want you to know, like, maybe by Monday you're like, I'm drained. I don't have any more grace. I don't have any more mercy. I don't, like, whoo, we got Wednesday for you. All right? We named it really good, Recharge, right? We'll feed you. We'll feed you not just physically, but spiritually too. We have some really good classes going on that are teaching us these things of how to use our tools that God has given us to share the message that God has put on us. And this morning, we're going to talk about what it means to be in the neighborhood, all right? And I started off this morning telling this part of it. We had a person that was basically knew the law. And I want you to understand the law is not so much the same as today. Like, they weren't a lawyer in the standpoints that we have today. But they were an expert of knowing what God's law was. And you almost had to be an expert of knowing how many laws they come up from just the 10. All right? God gave us 10, and all of a sudden we had over 600. And they would just they became experts, and it was all with the Old Testament kind of thought process of how they regulated these laws. And they were bound up by this, right? And they bound God up in this law, all right? And so they were experts in law, and this guy, he goes, I'm going to put Jesus to the test. You know, and you got to understand, Jesus was doing amazing things. He was saying amazing things. He was saying he was the Son of God. He was doing things as he's the Messiah for them, right? And all, you couldn't see or go to God except for them. I mean, he was saying these things where we were kind of really against who they were, all right? And they were pretty, they had a hard time with it because he was even doing miracles on the Sabbath. He was doing things that were just out of pocket for them. And they were frustrated. And they had this moment right here, and he's like, I'm going to test them. And so his last question after, he's like, how do I get eternal life? How do I live with God from this point on, right? You know, follow the commandments, love God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, and love my neighbor. And Jesus is like, you got it. Do it. And of course, he comes up as who's my neighbor? Right? And they wanted really a very specific place and time and understanding of who they would love, right? And it was really, if the answer for them would just be this, from this wall to this wall is who we consider our neighbors, and this is who we are called to love, and everybody else is lost, and good luck to them, all right? And that's how they saw it. And Jesus knew this is what he was searching for. Because this is the prevailing thought of that time. This is how they saw that, that one group of class of people were the only ones that were going to be saved because they knew it. And they were blessed by God, and nobody else was blessed by God. And you have Jesus that loves to tell stories, loves to tell parables, and sat there and told a parable to them as an answer. And I love it. He gave us this answer. He goes, listen, let's say you were walking down the road and you were mugged and you were beaten and you were left for dead. And you have a priest walk up to you. And because you're dirty, bleeding, and gross, they could not come around you, so they would just walk and probably go, man, I'll pray that God blesses them more because they've done something horrible to deserve this. And they just walk by. And then you had a Levite who was considered the ones that studied the law and intently knew they had to live by the law, all right? And so they also would walk around the other side of them and go, listen, man, because you're dirty, because this, the law tells me I'm forbid from touching you on this day, so I'm not going to be around you. In fact, I'm going to scoot on by and freeze. Don't even talk to me. Just, right? And then he talked about a Samaritan. Now, let me help you out real quick. A Samaritan, today's world, like you hear Good Samaritan, it sounds really good, doesn't it? Like Samaritan has got a good connotation. Back then, Samaritan was like a dirty word. It was somebody that they did not get along with. It was they held them off to the side and said, those are the dirty people, don't hang out with them. And Jesus did this intentionally in this story to use the Samaritan. And the Samaritan sees you on the side of the road, beaten, left for dead, bloody, partly naked probably. I mean, just not appealing. Stops everything he's doing in that moment, attends to your wounds. Ask you, can I take you a place to get healed? He picks him up, takes him to a lodge, pays for his healing, pays for his time, and then comes back the next day and checks on him. And says to the innkeeper, whatever he costs, whatever he builds up, I've got it. I'll take care of it. And Jesus looked at that Levite who asked the question and said, who's the neighbor? Ooh, drop of the mic right there. And the guy's like, Samaritan. Because the truth was real right there in that moment, because he knows the priest and the Levite and what they would do, and they were not loving. In fact, they would be justified by their standards that they could do what they did. Right? This morning, I want to kind of give us, not an updated version, but add to what it looks like to be in the neighborhood. To be part of this, right? And give us some four types of what it looks like to be a neighbor today. Now, I want you to know, I am horrible at math. It is not my gift. I have a calculator on my phone, and really, it's just for plus and minus. for tips, and I have to do that a couple times to figure out, oh, that's the tip. Is it divide there? Is it what? I just don't, I know. I'm weak with it. It is what it is. I'm just glad I passed when I did, and God still uses me despite that. But today we're going to talk about these things right here, four types of what it means to be a neighbor. All right? First one, very simple, very easy for us to understand. Are you going to add to somebody's life? Add peace, love, grace. Are you going to add to them? Are you going to bonus their life when they come into connection with you? And the people that you're around, right? Are they adding to your life? Do they give you peace when you're around them? Do they give you love and grace? Do they ask you how you're doing, right? Do they add that? Do they add value to you, right? Next, minus. All right, these people, when you're around, you can just feel it's not good. I walk away feeling I've made some poor choices in my life in this moment. The way that I'm thinking, the way that I'm doing things, I feel more bogged down. I feel like life is not great. And if you don't know of anybody, it might mean you're that person. All right? And I'm talking to church. I'm talking to us. This is our neighborhood right now. I'm not talking to anybody outside of this because we have different expectations that don't know the faith, right? We should have higher expectations of each other within this. And you got to understand, who was Jesus talking to? Was he talking to the lost? Or was he talking to the ones that thought they were saved? All right? So this is the same aspect. We are for a neighborhood that God has created, okay? And for us to be minus, we're taken away from people. We bring our negative attitudes. We bring always this, I understand, listen, we're not going to have great days all the time, but when it's every time I come into connection with you, it's always wah, wah. That you're just the constant Eeyore. Anybody understand that reference? All right, or I've really dated myself. You know what an Eeyore is? All right. It's a donkey, but unhappy. All right? But it's this avenue in which we get stuck almost in a rut, too, for ourselves, that we just define ourselves by the issues and the problems that we have, and we just want to share it with everybody else. And we just suck life away from people. Don't be that. Don't be that. Next, times. This is the most intense one about all. I love this one. If you're ready to be this one, there's a huge commitment because this is the one that you want. You want a person, a neighbor, a friend, somebody that is going to be the multiplier of your life. And the multiplier of your life is going to hold you accountable. This is going to make you a better dad, a better mom, a better follower of Jesus, a better whatever within it because they see the potential in you. And they are not afraid to share the truth with you. And a lot of us run away from the multiplier because sometimes it's harsh, sometimes it's rough, sometimes it's that person that out of love, it doesn't come across loving in some ways, right? But the multiplier is the one that we look to, too, and go, man, they seem to have things right in their life. They're the ones that we should be looking to and going, I want to know how they're doing it. I want to, the relationship with their kids, the relationship with their spouse, the relationship that they have with us, I see it and I want it, and I'm going to tell you right now, get rid of the jealousy of it and ask them. Why are you the way that you are? How can I get more of this? What has changed in your life that it seems perfect? Now, I'm going to tell you, we all know and we all understand no one's perfect in here, right? But I will tell you, you can tell when somebody is trusting God, when they truly rely on God, when they have God reserved in here and they know that they are worshiping God with all their heart, mind, and soul, we see it. Do Do we not? Come on. Come on, neighborhood. Do we see it? Right? We need to investigate with them. We need more multipliers in our life. Do we not? I'm going to tell you right now. There are some of you that are multipliers that need to start stepping up and sharing it. Need to be the ones that are engaging with those and stepping out. And I know it's tough because you feel like you might lose a friendship. You might be the one that is like has to tell the truth to somebody. Listen, you're going down a wrong path. You're angry all the time. You're lost. You need to trust God. Let's go have lunch. You see, being a neighbor is picking them up when they're dirty, when they're gross, when they're rough, when it's not fun, when they're lost. Listen, we're not afraid of doubters. Do you understand that? We will not be a neighborhood that's afraid of doubters. In fact, we welcome them, we encourage them, we love them, and by the grace that God has put in us, we share with them, and they see the light, and in that doubt, in that moment, they are reassured that God is real. Right? That is what we're called. We need to be the good Samaritan and go even the extra step with a lot of each other. When we pick each other up, it's not just the end of the story. We follow up. We take home their pain and their struggle, and we pray about it, and we seek God for advice of how to give them uplifting advice, how we can nurture them more. We have Bible studies. We have raising parents God's way. We have finding out your gifts. We have a prayer group. We have a care ministry. We have children's ministry. We have a youth group. I mean, we have all these things, not to be entertain us, but to develop us and let us know how to love each other. We have a goal, and we don't play church. We become the neighborhood that God has called us to be. And when somebody's missing, we notice it. And we don't go up to them and knock on their door and be like, "Hey, sinner, where you been? Seat's kind of cold. Have you given this week?" It's not what we do. We are subtle. We are caring. We engage with them and say, "How can I help you? I noticed this. You're hurting, I bet you." Listen, life can be messy. We have people that go through divorce. We have people that make horrible decisions. We have people that get caught up and have to go to jail. We have people that do these things. And you know, we are called to still do, not judge, but love. Not celebrate their hurt, which is a weird thing because we do it. Ha, see, told you they get what they deserve. You know what we do? We pray for them. We hurt for them. We carry the burdens for them. We seek them out and go, "God is bigger than the mistakes you have done. We believe it. We don't glorify your mistakes, but we live with you." Right, church? I want you to know, in Acts 2, I love it. I was going to read it this morning. There's this moment where they're talking about sitting at the table and breaking bread and how God has just been moving with them. The Spirit has been moving. You got to understand where Acts is at, too, that Jesus has already been dead and he's already risen, and they've now got a mission. They understand that Jesus is the true Messiah, and they want to live this out, and they're doing it. They're becoming the neighborhood, and they're sitting at this table, and at the table, the number has been increasing and increasing and increasing because they're becoming the neighborhood that God has called them to be. You get it? It's not just because they got the best programs. They're living out what the Scripture has said, what Jesus has said, in their lives, and they're becoming the neighbor even to their enemies. If they saw their enemy laying on a street, beaten and hurting, what would they do? They would pick them up because they want to love their neighbor, and their neighbor is whoever they come into contact with. And they understand that, and they want that, and they desire that. So the next time we look at this world and go, it's hell in a handbasket right now, I want you to understand, but you hold the grace and salvation in your hands, and you better be sharing it. That is something that you were never called to hold on to, and it's not for you to be selfish with. In fact, the moment we receive it, we are encouraged from that point on to go out and share it, that we have a mission. And that mission is to love thy neighbor. And our neighbor is not just those in this room, but everyone we come in contact with. The one that spits in my face. The one that ridicules lies. The one that does all these wrong things against me. I am called to love. I want you to know that feels like it falls all under the multiplier. That's deep. It's different from plus. Plus, you're just a good person. You're doing the works and the deeds of your faith, right? Multiplier is like you're engaged in the mission and you're going, okay, how can I love my church even more? How can I help them get to the next step that I want to see, that I know God wants to see, right? And how do I do it lovingly? I hate doing this, but I'm saving the worst for last. Divide. This is the killer of churches. This is what destroys us. And it's like the little talks behind it makes a reference to a little weed that is growing, and all of a sudden, just because we're off into a corner sharing our frustrations about the weed, and all of a sudden next week, for some reason, that weed has grown into a tree of problems. Because all we're doing is focusing on the issues that divide. And the people that we have, like, it's just part of us, it's innate in us. We have a concern, and we hide it behind our concerns of where we're going and what we're doing, but we do it in such a way that just divides us. I want you to know, if you know people like that, if you are that, today is a day for a new opportunity not to be that. You may hide it behind faint care and worry, but I'm telling you right now, it does not glorify God. It does not point us in the right way. If you cause worry and strife, that is not where God has ever intended us to be. Now, I want you to know, I'm not saying that we are not to be held accountable. But I'm saying, if your desire causes division, it is not the answer. It is not the way. I want you to know right now, if you look at the Pharisees, if you study the Pharisees and the ones that read the law, this is what they were experts in. They would come out with some faint concern that you were not living by the life, and then they would talk amongst each other, and then they would just get rid of the concern. Harshly. If you watch Jesus was a big concern for them because he hung out with the ones that did not fit under their umbrella. They were the ones that caused problems and weeds in the church. They made us kind of feel uncomfortable. He sat with us, the woman at the well who was not considered, you know, a part of their people, and she was at the well at that time because she knew she shouldn't be hanging out with anybody, and Jesus purposely asked her for a cup of water. He was engaging with this lady where everybody else in his culture and his people would never talk to her because they would look down upon her. See, people get us that are part of the divide, get our eyes off the prize and look at things that don't glorify the kingdom. but feel right here. You see, God even says you can't serve two masters, right? What does it happen? It causes division. And a lot of Christians today, a lot of followers today, whether they believe it or not, have two masters. They want God and they want their comfort. They want to come in here and have their three songs that they like. They want to make sure it's clean and proper in here, that this is taken care of. These are not bad things. But when they usurp what God wants, when this is what you come on, like, and let me tell you, if you're come to church and your first discussion with somebody is about what you see here in this facility and not how God is doing and using you this week and how he's changed you to use somebody else's life, if your constant conversation is like, did you see the dirt? You've missed it. Now, are those bad things to see? Absolutely not. But if it's all about that, your heart's not a good spot. We are called to be a neighborhood. And if you look at the Good Samaritan story, that's the neighborhood that we're going to be. We're here to take care of the lost, the broken, to love them the way that Jesus has always loved us while we have been lost and broken. We understand that we have been given salvation and we are for the people that don't understand it, and we are to go out and share it as much as we can. And we sit in this time as we break bread together and we drink the wine together and we tell the stories of what Jesus is doing in our life and we celebrate him together. Right? Imagine coming here and more worried about the weeds in somebody's soul that's growing and wanting to say, listen, man, I want to pray for you. I'm worried about you. I want you to know we are here. Hey, let me encourage you to come to this class. It will help you grow the skills, the tools to be able to get rid of those weeds. Those doubts, those worries. God can free you this morning. That's a multiplier. Are we ready to be that church? Are we ready to be the neighborhood that God has called us? Are we ready for that? Are we for this? It's easy to go out there and be like, all right, let's go for a fight. We're going out in the world. Let's fight this week. Let's go. I got the Bible. Let's beat you up with the Word of God. No, I want you to know right now, we need to have our arms ready and open and see the ones that are broken and lost and be ready to pick them up and say, how can I do this more? How do I follow up with this? How do I be this? And not only without those who are in this world, because, man, the best practice is here. There is people that I know that you look across and you're like, I don't know who they are. Let's stop wasting our time this morning and find out who we are and love on each other, care for each other, pray for each other, and become the neighborhood that God so desires that he starts blessing our numbers. Right? I want you to understand, I am not a pastor that's worried about the seats that are in here. I'm worried that God has called you here and that we are called to do a mission together. And that is a desire to be what God has called us. And the more that we do that, guess what God will do? I've seen it. I've been a part of it. This is so much fun for me because what I see right now is a church that's believing what God is doing. We just got to keep taking the steps to make it happen. Right, church? Right? And I know the more we become the neighborhood that he has designed and wants from us, guess what starts to happen? He will bless us because he will trust us with people that need his love. And right now, I think, to be honest, I think we are at a point right now, church, that we need to reflect and go, who am I on this list? Am I adding to people's lives? Am I subtracting to people's lives? Am I multiplying people? Am I dividing them? Where do I sit on this? And how can I be something different if I need to be? Or how do I beef up even more what God has put in store for me? You are called to be a neighbor. And I want you to know, when Jesus says these things, this is what I love. He ends this. He ends this with us, and I want us to understand this. He says this. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. This morning, when we hear this, I want you to know, Jesus is saying this, not me. Go and do likewise. Love the way that he has called us to love through the parable of the Good Samaritan. This week, man, study. Go and study this. Luke 10:25-37. Read it a couple times. Start to figure out, where do I sit in this story? Maybe right now I have felt like the person that is wounded and nobody is loving me. Pray that God sends somebody, even from here, to be the Good Samaritan that God has called us, to be the neighbor that you need. Maybe you've been the one, man, I'll pray for you, but I'm not messing with that mess. That I'm just going to walk around it because I don't know how to deal with this. That calls me out of my comfort zone. This morning, I want you to know, God can equip you. God has got a mission for you. And if he's put if he's put people in front of you to be the Samaritan for them, guess what? He trusts you to be the one that picks them up and loves them. He does. You just got to accept it this morning. So stand with me. And as we leave this morning, as we exit, get to know somebody new this morning. Shake some hands and hear what they're all about. Take a moment. Make me stay too long after tonight, or today. Make it tonight, I guess. I don't know. But get to know somebody so you can be a neighborhood that God can bless. That you can go and, like, I know how to be praying for them. I know how to go and reach out to them. I know their hurts and their wants and their desires. And I'm going to let you know right now, don't just stick to your own age. Intergenerational ministry is huge. These teens need to hear from you. Our teens need to step out and go talk to these grandparents here. We need to have courage that God is bigger than all these social standards that we put out there. All these worries and concerns, and step out in faith and be the neighborhood that God has called us to be. So this is what I encourage you to go. May Jesus tell us this morning to go and do likewise. Let's go and love those who need to be loved. Let's add to their life. Let's multiply each other. All right? You're dismissed. God bless you.